Good morning. How are we? Are we good? Yes. My gosh. So good to see you guys face to face and hug you. We're huggers. Yes, I know. So good to see you guys outside of the Zoom world, hey? Welcome to Convert Sales Summit. This is our 16th biannual event. How good's that? Yes. And it's so great to have so many of you members here. My name is Annette. For you guys that don't know me, I am Pete's other half of the business. I am the CEO and co-founder of Convert Club and the Sales Institute, which brings you the Sales Summit today. For any of you guys that don't know who we are, because I know we've got a few guests, so big welcome to you all. Gosh, sales, hey? Who thought you'd ever end up having sales training? Put up your hand if you never thought in your life you'd ever have sales training. Say, I. It's the one thing that when we start a business that many people leave to the end. They want to do all the sexy stuff. They want to get their logo looking good, their website looking good. Let me do marketing because marketing's fun. Let me do marketing. And then they start getting the leads in and they get some sales and then they don't. And they think, you know what, I don't want to work on my sales because I don't want to be a pushy salesperson. So I'm just going to build more rapport because it's my brand and it's my business and I don't want my business to get a bad rap. So then you keep trying, you keep trying. And I'll just let you know this and you can write this down. 20% of your customers will probably buy anyway. Did you know that? 20%. Doesn't matter if you speak baboon. They will buy anyway. Because they need your product, they probably do like you, and they've got the money and they're ready to do it now. But what happens in sales is about 68% of the time, and this is a stats that's going all the way back to, who knows, Brian Tracy. Yeah, I don't know where he got it from, but I'm using that stat today. 68% of the time a sale is lost just because you simply didn't ask the person to get started. How would you like to take care of it? Which option would you like? However you want to close, it just hasn't happened. Which means 32 people out of 100 actually ask for the sale. So we're already ahead if you're just asking for the person to make the next step. Now hang in with me here. Are you ready? Of those 32 people, only 50% will try to explore an objection. So that's 16 people out of 100, after they've tried to get the person started, if the person says, I'd like to think about it, then only about 16 people out of 100 would say, I totally understand you want to think about it. Many people do. Before you go, do you mind if I get some clarity on what it is that you need to think about? How's the tailored plan I've put in place for you? Does that work well? What about the budget? How does that feel? What about the time? And only 16 people out of 100 would explore it. Now, sometimes we just don't know what to say, right? I'd like to think about it. Okay, well, what do I do? Okay, yeah, go think about it and I'll call you. We have a 3-day hot period. Write it down, 3 days. They're hot for 3 days after they've seen you. The longer you leave a sale, they start to get into logic. It's harder and harder to close. So it's really funny that sometimes we think, I'll leave it for a week. Leave a follow-up call the next day. The sooner they have that next conversation with you, the better. Now let's just say, out of those 16 people out of 100 that have said, yeah, sure, I understand you need to have a think about it. Let's have a bit of a chat just so I've got some clarity to see if I can help you have clarity. And then let's just say he says, yes, look, I need to speak to my partner. Totally fine. We get that. Only 22% will try to overcome the objection again. Which is like 4 people out of 100 will try to close the sale again. Now, you guys know the reverse selling method. Woo-hoo! All right. right, the reverse selling method. Guess what we do here? Most people, when they sell, who are untrained, they have a person inquire. And this person is either in a bad place, they're struggling, they are neutral, they just know that they need some help. And some of you guys have a service that's an aspirational service. Your product doesn't have to solve a problem. It's something exciting for them. But either way, they are unsure. They are unsure if your product and service is going to help what I need. So most people, they inquire, and then the person that's selling, business owner, team member, BDM, whoever it is, builds a lot of rapport. Let me get you to like you. Like me, like you, get that rapport happening. Talk about their services, which is normally what? Logic or emotional? Logic. Red brain. And then they ask, will you buy? No wonder we have to overcome so many objections, because the person has not been elated. We haven't extracted their goals, their needs, their wants, their desires. Instead, we're giving a very technical, logical explanation because we know our product so well, and then we ask them to buy, and hence why we get a lot of objections. What we do in the reverse selling method is we start unconscious decision-making from the get-go. From the get-go. We have that person going to the emotional brain, logical brain, emotional brain, logical brain. They're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Most people need to do 2 to 3 loops. Depends on if how much of a decision decider you are, if you're a high C behavior style. So if anyone knows DISC, if you're a high C behavior style, then you might need to loop a few more times. But by the time you've learnt the whole reverse selling method, you have looped between 25 to 30 times in your customer's brain just by you asking questions, going through emotion and logic, and they're making lots of mini decisions along the way. And that's why we never normally need to train objection handling, because the person has said yes in their brain so many times, which is why you end up increasing your closing rate. Does that sound good? Turn to the person next to you and say, that sounds good. All right. So we are in the business not of sales, though. I actually say that we are in the people business. The Sales Institute, we love people. We love helping people. We love helping people smile. Sales fixes everything in your business. It fixes everything. Sales fixes everything. In your personal life, in your business, with your teams, with your growth. It fixes everything. We are in the business of making people happy. That's what we believe. We're not in the sales business. We're in the business of helping businesses really thrive. And that's what we're passionate about. Now, speaking about people, turn to page 4 in your books. And let's just have an overview of deeper levels of rapport, because we are here for 2 days, guys. How many days? 2. Except for George and Anna. We're going to miss you tomorrow. 7 levels of intimacy. You're thinking, intimacy? How close are we going to get this week? When you think about intimacy, you might think we're talking about sex, but we are not. Intimacy is how well you can reveal yourself to others. And more importantly, when we're in business, oh, they're just laughing, they're thinking, oh, reveal. Get your mind out of the gutter. How well can you get your customer to what? Reveal themselves to you. So 7 levels of intimacy. Page 4. The first level, we call cliche. Cliche conversations. Cliche conversations are great. They're great when you're in the supermarket and you need to get through the checkout really fast. Hello, hello, how are you? I'm good, thanks. Maybe who catches the bus? Anyone catch the bus still? See the bus driver, good morning, how are you? I'm good. And it's great because cliche conversations, you don't have to share much about yourself, because how many times do people ask, how are you? And you might feel like, shit, how are you? I'm good, thanks, I'm good. It's like, Raj, can I come in? Oh, no, we're good. Hi, Raj. We're just getting ready. We've just got a couple of things. Cliche conversation. You cannot see under the surface. She probably picked up the body language. Oh, yeah, okay, so I'll come back. How connective is cliche to build a relationship? We need to go under the surface. It's very helpful for fast transactional things. But, and I will say this, it's the start of rapport. At least the person is having a conversation with you, but it's not going to help us in the sales process. So level two, factual conversations. Factual conversations are great. Because who's going to argue with facts? So you can still have a conversation with someone and not have to share much about yourself, but you're making an effort to build rapport. It's a nice day today. It is. How hot was it yesterday? It was so hot. 38 degrees in Sydney. I know. And but it was so nice to have sunshine. It was so nice because we've had so much rain. I know. What's happened? We have had flooding the last 2 years. It's crazy. We can have such a good conversation, can't we, around the weather, because it's fact. No one's going to argue with fact. Peter is the best at level two, meeting somebody new, especially if it's a man and he likes sport. I can see him go from cliche to fact. What sport do you like, mate? Oh, soccer. I don't know where Peter is able to know all these stats all over the world. Doesn't matter what sport, he will know. Could be badminton, he will know. And then he will say, what team do you go for? He'll know the team. And then he'll go, oh, you've had a rough season, haven't you, mate? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, what? I can't believe they swapped that guy out and they brought this other one in. They paid for him. Now, Pete has just given opinion. Guess what level three is? Opinions. Opinions. They can go different ways. Because sometimes, I think I've just spelled that wrong. I've left an eye out. Opinions is where it can go haywire. Because I might give an opinion that you don't like. So when somebody shares an opinion with you, they're actually starting to go under the surface. They're actually showing you some skin. They're like, this is me. Now, sometimes we don't like the opinions. Yesterday, we were trying to workshop a new tagline for our new logo, Driving Businesses Growth. Just so you know, the Sales Institute is winning 2 awards in New York in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you. Fastest growth. Out of hundreds of companies that have entered into this award, we're now in the top three. How great is that? And also, while I was there entering that award, I thought, we run the back end of our business so well, I'm going for Small Company of the Year too. Guess what? Top three. Thank you. So there's going to be a photo up in Times Square, no matter what we get. first, second or third. So I said, we need to work on the logo and I'd like to have something underneath it different, because we were toying with the idea helping businesses thrive, and Pete goes, I don't know about the word thrive, it's overused now. I was like, okay, let me chat GPT it. And I was like, okay, here are some of the different ideas. And I was like, oh, driving business growth. It says businesses growth, wasn't it? It was businesses growth. And he goes, yeah, I like it. I go, let's lock it in. We lock it in. And as I'm writing it, I go, is it businesses or business? ChatGPT says businesses. It should be right because ChatGPT is not wrong. He says, no. He gets on ChatGPT. No, business. Okay, business. Helping business growth. Driving business growth, I should say. And that's where the opinion came in. I then said, do you think the word driving is a bit masculine? He's like, no. I said, just don't know. I just wonder if we should have something sort of in between. He's like, there's a lot of driven women. I said, yes, and I'm a driven woman. But do you think, is it a dated word? Is it too masculine? And I was like, do you know what? This is a 3% rule. 3% rule. If it's not going to matter much, don't worry. Don't sweat the small stuff. I said, it's okay. Let's just put it in. We need to get that logo in now. Done. Level three. Sometimes someone shares the opinion, and just like with Pete and I working yesterday with the boys in our apartment, let's just say the next hour it went back to level one, level two conversations. Level four. Oh, I love level four. Hopes and dreams. Hopes and dreams. How many of you have a product and a service that you are selling a hope or a dream to that person? Your business solves some type of problem and it's something aspiring. They're thinking, this is what I want. I want to scale my business. We can help you do that. How often do you tap into the person's hopes and dreams? When you meet people, it's my favorite thing to do. I don't love to play small. When I used to do entrepreneurial coaching for women one-on-one, they'd come to me, they'd have a goal. I go, what's your goal? And I'm like, didn't get the goosebumps. Didn't tell them that. And I said, okay, I feel like there's something else there. What's the big dream that maybe you're too scared to tell anybody? Because how many of us have hopes and dreams and we don't tell anybody? Maybe our family don't even know because we don't want judgment. But we secretly have it tucked away. And as soon as I say to one of these women, what is the big goal? And then they go, oh, it's this, boom, 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 boom. And I get the goosebumps and go, oh, we can work together now. How often do you tap into your hopes and dreams? You guys have 2 days together. In your conversations, get to know each other. Let's go into the lower end of this 7 levels. Every single person in the room has hopes and dreams. Level five, feelings. How often do you share your feelings? How easily do you share your feelings? How easily do you extract feelings from your potential clients? We know about the emotion. We know about the green brain. These two levels, four and five, this is about acceptance. If you're a person that has people that easily share with you their hopes and dreams and their feelings, they naturally, unconsciously feel your level of acceptance and low judgment. Level six, fears, faults, and failures. Ooh. Fears, faults, failures. So many of you do have conversations with your potential client, your customer, and it is about finding out if there's a pain motivator there. Do we have an away from pain motivator? And we can ask questions and talk about that. Now, there's sometimes a 3-for-3 in rapport, which is we don't want to be the person that's always asking the question because it's very controlling and never sharing back. So we always want to just drip feed a little bit either about ourselves or, especially at this level, fears, faults and failures, to drip feed even about your other clients. Look, I understand how you feel because we've had a few of our members that have come through Convert Club feeling exactly the same way, and this is what we've found. This is a very high level of trust. If you're finding that you have in your sales process people sharing their fears, their faults and their failures, you know that you've gone even deeper than acceptance. The last level is level 7 and it's legitimate needs or unconditional love. So we might have level 7 for our children, unconditional love. We definitely are there to support their legitimate needs. But in the sales process, they will feel that you're there. They will feel the difference that you're there truly for the legitimate needs of them. It's unconditional. This is what you love to do. You love your product. You love your service. You love changing people's lives with what you do. They will feel that at legitimate needs. They will feel it. You know there's an energy there. How many of you have gone through into any type of sales process yourself and you know that you're just a dollar sign walking with feet? They don't see you as level 3 to 7. They're not there for the legitimate needs. And everything we do with the reverse selling method is that. It's helping you be able to connect the dots. As I said, we're in the business of helping people smile. That's what we do. You've got a product, you've got a product, you've got a product. We've all got services here. We've all got something that we want people to have. And then you've got people over here that are needing it. And so for us, with the reverse selling method, is helping you join the dots.